I didn't either.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village Radio Show with your hosts, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley. Tonight, a two-part show. In the first hour, a fascinating interview with Dr. Connie McReynolds, whose research in neurofeedback has helped thousands of people, especially children, to deal effectively with ADHD, autism, and underlying brain problems. Her latest book is Solving the ADHD Riddle. Her clinics have helped adults and children achieve an improved quality of life in ways never before thought possible. Then in our second hour, it's open mic. We're taking your phone calls on any topic. Now, here's your Global Village host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome, everyone. Today, I have a wonderful guest with me. Dr. Connie McReynolds is here today, and we're going to talk about that ADHD situation we've all heard about. We have the foremost expert in the field who's going to give us some insight into what this is all about. And for those poor children and people who have this situation going in their life, some solutions as to how to deal with it and also what it's all about. As you know, my daughter, Sherry, had situations that in her life, and I'm kind of kin to children who have these special learning abilities or disabilities or challenges, however you want to put it, my friends. But today, Dr. Connie is here to tell us all about it. So welcome to the show, Dr. Connie. It's great to have you here. I'm reading your press material and your book, which is an amazing book as far as I'm concerned, and everybody should go out and buy it. We'll talk a little bit more about how to do that. How did you get started in this amazing research and coming to this understanding? And I'm going to let you explain that to the audience. When I read the information about this, I was gobsmacked. It was earth-shattering, and I'm not trying to overdo it, but I was really impressed. So tell us about how, first of all, who you are and how you got to where you are.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me to be here today. It's such an honor to be with you and to share this information, which is really why I wrote the book. But it all started many, many decades ago. My mother taught second grade for 32 years in the same classroom. And I kind of joke that I grew up in second grade. I watched as she helped children who were struggling to learn. One little boy couldn't learn how to read, and she took a special interest in him. And over the summer, at her own expense and time, took him to a university center. And interestingly, was diagnosed with dyslexia. So something at the time that wasn't very well understood. And through the support that she received through that university teaching center, they were able to help resolve that little boy's problems. And he went on and had a great life. Interestingly, I think that stuck with me more than I really realized until I started writing the book. And in between all of those years, I was a rehabilitation counselor. So I had a very deep interest in helping people, and I wasn't particularly akin to a lot of the diagnoses that I saw my clients coming in with, because I early on discovered in my career some 30 years ago that the diagnosis really didn't tell me very much about the person. as I started to get to know the person, I realized people could come in with the same diagnosis, but they were individuals. They had maybe some similar symptoms, but they were unique in how it was happening in their life. And through that work, then I became interested in obtaining my doctorate. So I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison 20-some, almost 30 years ago, to get my degree in rehabilitation psychology. So that was a field that crossed both parts of my path. I was always interested in psychology, but I liked the rehabilitation psychology piece because it brought a completely different field to the process. And I taught in that field for 25 years. And part of my teaching, part of my learning and my teaching that I imparted is that you can have a lot of diagnoses, but as I had discovered early on in my career, it didn't tell much about the person. And so I would teach, okay, here's the abnormal psychology. Now here's the rehab psychology. Here's what you're really going to do. Because I wanted solutions for people. I didn't want to just leave with labels. And fast forward that in my career at the university in Southern California, I was brought in, was given a wonderful opportunity to build an institute. Within that institute evolved this program called Neurofeedback, which we'll talk a lot more about. But really it was the process of uncovering a deeper truth about what was really happening with children with ADHD. And that's what I want the world to know. So thank you again for having me here today.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. You are one of the foremost clinical researchers in your field. And I heard you say some magic words that rang true to me. First of all, diagnosis is, let's say, an educated guess as to what's going on. Second, labeling. When people are given a label, when they go to the next therapist, physician, the label sticks, and already before the person comes in the door, basically, they're sunk. You know, that's the way you are. Sorry, we can't do anything with it. Go home and live with this situation. In my career, when my daughter had difficulties, we faced that several times, and we ultimately put her into an institution, to my great regret looking back. But at the time, all the authorities did the right thing, and as far as they thought, and a young couple, my wife, dear wife Karen, who's passed on now, and myself, we could get on with our lives. We bought that story. But then we ran into some people who taught us otherwise, that there are all alternatives. And so listening to you, and I could see, like, you know, you're getting your degree and all those things a few years ago probably seems like yesterday, you know. But you had the insight, the intuition, the intellect, the curiosity to look at people as individuals. And there must be something more. And I was fascinated to see that you came up with this idea that people with ADHD, my dyslexia is showing up a little, that their brain is wired wrong. They don't learn the same way, or there's some misdirection of thinking. How did you come up with that marvelous, wonderful discovery?
Well, I tell you, it was just a process. It was something that I didn't even know existed myself. What was happening at the beginning of my clinics 15 years ago is that children were showing up and parents had a very similar story. Regardless of kind of any of the other factors, socioeconomic, it didn't matter. The same story was coming up, which is, we've had my child on medication, it hasn't worked, or we've been on medications and the side effects are we can't live with, or my child is refusing to take the medication, or the other story, the behavioral interventions, nothing is working, he's misbehaving, he's in trouble all the time. Or the other piece was, we don't want to go down the medication route. But it was the first group where the medications weren't working and the traditional behavioral interventions, these things were not yielding the outcomes that were promised to parents and to teachers. It wasn't working. And so curiosity kicked in. It's like, well, what is going on here? Why are these traditional approaches not doing what we've been told for decades is going to help solve the problem for these children? And so, again, just kind of as processes unrolled, I was so fortunate. A colleague of mine was using the neurofeedback, which we'll talk more about later, came to me, he was in the same department that I was in the College of Education at this university. And he said, you know, I think you really need to look into this. We're finding some results in helping children with learning difficulties being able to learn how to read better. And of course, that ticked a bell in my mind because, right. you know, right back to second grade, it's like, okay, what's going on here? So I actually created a pilot project for a year where we worked with children and we worked with veterans who have PTSD, and that's another thing we can talk about. But it was an uncovery process, a discovery, an uncovering, and just a revealing that this assessment that we happened to use that was tied to this particular neurofeedback process, it looks at 37 areas of auditory and visual processing, and I get this information in 20 minutes.
Wow.
It generates a 15-page report. And so for 5 years, I was looking at these reports day in and day out. We were doing our interventions, retesting at the midpoint, retesting at the end, and the evidence was supporting this was working. And parents were reporting things were changing at home and at school, which to me, far more important than what an assessment may say.
I agree. That's hard evidence. Those are hard facts.
They are. It's like, okay. And one parent early on, she came to me, we'd been working with her son, and she said, you know, I'm not really sure that this has really done anything for my son. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, our data show that there's some changes here. And then a week later, she came back and she said, I stand corrected. So what happened? And she said, I went to a family reunion and everyone wanted to know what I had done to my son because he was so much better behaved.
So he was improving and she didn't even notice it. Wow.
Yeah, so it was great. So she stood in my office for a while and we chatted and she said, thank you. She said, it must have just been a subtle process to where, you know, she kind of forgot what it was like, but the relatives had not.
So I always hung
on to that one. You know, it was great.
Makes my heart feel good when you say that. Again, because people have this misconception that that's the way it's going to be. Your child is going to be on medication for the rest of his or her life. I'm sorry, we can't do anything about it. Go live with it. I get the hair in the back of my neck stands up when I hear that, because that's just intellectually lazy. You went ahead and you proved the point and you had results. How did you do that exactly? How did you get those results?
Well, it's through this particular assessment that we were using. And I'll be honest, you know, for the first 5 years, I really was looking at this. I was trusting it because I saw the data and then I hear the story. Just one cute little story about this one little boy, a 9-year-old, early on. His parents were bringing him and we've been working with him for a little while. And he walks in, he's a little downtrodden that day. And I looked at him and I said, well, what's going on? He said, it's working. He said, I can pay attention now even when I don't want to. It's working. It's just long in the face and the parents behind him. And I were trying not to burst out in smiles. But I said, oh my gosh, okay. So what then eventually happened is I started realizing there was something to these auditory and visual processing problems. Because it seemed to me like children were coming in diagnosed with a long litany of various types of conditions, from intermittent explosive disorder, oppositional defiant disorder, autism, Tourette syndrome, and the list just went on.
Oh my gosh.
It went on and on and on. And I started running this assessment on everyone who came in, regardless of why they walked in the door. And what I was uncovering is that underneath all of these labels, these massive labels, underneath all of that, in about 85 to 90% of the cases, people had these existing auditory and visual processing problems that no one had accurately identified or described to the people. And when this assessment's run and I go over the assessment results, they will sit there stunned. Some parents tear up. I've even had adults tear up when they've learned what they've been struggling with for years.
Wow.
And then I became really curious. It's like, well, you know, who else has written about this? Because there has to be someone else who's got this out there. You know, this is amazing information. Why, you know, am I not finding it? So I went on a 2-year hunt for anyone who was writing anything on this in the literature back in those days. That was a decade ago.
I think the audience and I are ahead of you. You were that first person, not anybody else had done something. Am I right?
Yes.
Congratulations. I am so proud to have you here on the show talking about this. Again, people, for whatever the physicians were before, they gave it their best guess, and they just kept adding labels to labels to labels. And you actually knuckled down and discovered the gold to solving these people's problems. And I just see the people crying, oh, my God, finally. Somebody understands me. Somebody can tell me. I'm going to let you finish that thought because I just wanted to jump in and say that, you know, you're the person. You're number one. And right here on my show, we're talking about this, which is an issue very close to my heart, children with special needs or challenges. And to have you do that, you know, I would say you were divinely guided almost to get to there. Your curiosity, your intuition, your spiritual influences all leading you to do this. And that you had the wherewithal to go and try to find out if anybody else was doing it. Nope, you're it. So
it really was baffling to me that no one, and I just kept looking because I kept thinking, someone has to have written about this, figured this out, looked at this, and literally after 2 years, I was working on a manuscript, and I thought, I am not going to put anything out here if I'm not quoting someone else who's already been out here. I'm not going down that road as an academic. It's not going to happen.
No plagiarism, right?
Yes. It was like, no, this is not going to happen. So finally, I had built up my confidence enough and felt like I covered the ground deep enough, dug deep enough and broad enough that it wasn't there. There were other things out there called central auditory processing disorder, which is actually a hearing problem. But there was nothing about this type of auditory processing, and there was certainly nothing about visual processing that was out there since that time. And it's not necessarily because of me, I don't think, but I did publish in 2018 in an international journal about this, and I published the data of a subset of the children that we work with that, you know, we were able to show that they had consistently participated in the training, and we'd done the assessments all the way along. And here was the beginning, here was the middle, and here's the end of what these outcomes looked like. And so that was in 2018. So I was finally able to get that piece out.
So I'm going to get you to explain in people-ese what audio and visual dysfunction is, but it just popped in my mind. Did you take any criticism from anyone? Did they try to disprove your research?
No, they haven't. It's been so interesting. Now, obviously, the book is fairly new out. So,
what's the title and where can I get it?
The title is Solving the ADHD Riddle, really the lasting solutions, finding the real cause and the lasting solutions for that. It's on Amazon and other book dealers. It's also up on my website.
What's your website?
My website is Connie, C-O-N-N-I-E, McReynolds, McReynolds.com. It's on the homepage. So you can just click there and go straight to Amazon to get it.
From what I've read about you, Dr. Connie, and what I know about you so far, I highly recommend that anybody who suspects or has ADHD, I have to look at my note here, to right away investigate by making a simple investment in getting your book. And then I'm going to ask you, can people come and see you in person as a patient?
Yes. And so I do want to speak about that. I am in Southern California. I have two clinics in Southern California. So people do come to my clinic. We do the assessment and then we do the neurofeedback. And typically, it's going to be 30-minute sessions, usually about 40 of those for kind of the, I would say, the general auditory and visual processing problem. Now, if we're talking about anxiety and trauma and some of the other more deeply ingrained challenges that might exist, it may take a little bit longer than that. But that's really the end game is 2 to 3 times a week for these sessions after every 10 hours of training, the 20 sessions. Then we reassess and we will create a different training plan based on the progress that the person has made and then any remaining goals that they may have. And all of the goals are set by the intake. So really figuring out what does the person want to work on, what are the major impacts in their life, how are they, you know, affected at home and at school for children, but even at work for adults, and those assessments that we run. And so we're always monitoring the progress of that.
Well, what you're doing is miracle work, changing people's lives. I mean, the amount of relief you're instilling in people by, first of all, giving them a credible diagnosis, then, in my opinion, just from what you said, providing a game plan for them to get their lives back, and then having great success doing it, you must have a ton of patients lining up. I hope everybody listening to this interview calls you tomorrow, because you have all the credibility. You know, you're an innovator. You're almost first in the field. What you're doing is remarkable work. And nobody else has bothered to investigate and look for solutions like you have. So, again, having a special child in my life and having gone through all that, Sherry passed away when she was 38. She was born in 1968. We didn't have these alternatives, if you will, to find out what could be done. She did not have ADHD. She had something else, some problems in her brainstem, whatever. But the long and the short of it is, can you go back a step and now explain what exactly is visual audio malfunction? And I was intrigued by reading something about the brain doesn't learn like we learn, or in general. Well, me accepted, because I'm weird anyway, but the brain doesn't learn the same for everybody. Can you explain a little more about that?
I'd be happy to. I just want to touch base just for the listeners, because I do offer telehealth for neurofeedback, so you don't have to be within driving distance of my clinics.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Want people to know that is available. I actually have had a client in Switzerland, and I have clients kind of scattered around the U.S. as well. So you don't have to be within driving distance of Southern California
How about around the world? Because we're going to be putting the audio of this interview on our podcast, and even on our radio show, which is international. I'm sure people from around the world could, through that same mechanism, get in contact with you. I'm just so impressed. The relief that you're offering people is enormous. It's got to be a miracle blessing just to get a hold of you and get that information. But that's my opinion. So anyway, this is going to go out around the world. So you might end up with our friends in Spain or Australia or Japan, other places that people watch our shows. So anyway, back to after that wonderful revelation that you don't have to travel. You can do this on Zoom or something. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit about, just not to go back too far, but how is it that the brain malfunctions? Are they wired differently? Is there a physical disorder? Is there something, you know, what's going on in the brain?
Well, the wired word that you use is one I use, because I think we can understand that very well, which is our brain is wired to function in a certain way. We have good habits, bad habits, all of it's hardwired in. And so as we know that when we're trying to change a bad habit, sometimes it's pretty hard to do that. It's because the pattern is pretty strong in the brain. Those are neuronal pathways. And so I don't like to get too deep down into that, because we don't have to. We can just really talk about the brain. The brain is in a state of called neuroplasticity. And interestingly, that term was pitched out to the world in 1949 by the Canadian psychologist Donald Hebe. And so he did the preliminary work all those years back, but it's really taken a long time for people to fully understand how this works. So the brain is changing all the time, everything we do being recorded in our brain. And at the same time, repetition is how we learn. So the brain learns its patterns through repetition. And that's the beauty of all of this, is that that's what makes the brain trainable. Now, for some children, adults, whatever it might be, and I'm talking ADHD to post-traumatic stress disorder and everything in between, that's all based in neuronal pathways in the brain. So sometimes for children who have auditory and visual processing problems, they can look like they have all kinds of other things going on, because the neuronal pathways in the brain are not strong enough across these 37 areas that we look at. Sometimes it's missing complete sections of processing. So they may be really strong in auditory processing, but have zero visual processing on this assessment. They can flip it as well. So they can be great in the other one and weak in the other, or most typically there is almost like a saw, like the blades on the saw is kind of up and down and up and down across a mixed graph of strengths and areas of weakness. So those areas of weakness are the things that we target. And when we figure out specifically what areas are not working, then we build a training plan specific to those areas that need to be strengthened. And I explained to parents, it's a little bit like going to the gym. If I wanted to start a training plan, I'm probably going to get with a trainer to at least do an assessment to figure out, you know, what machines do I need to get on to strengthen my body. If these are my goals, how do I do it? That's what our assessment does. It really figures out those areas that need to be trained. And then neurofeedback, which is EEG biofeedback. A training plan is designed for each person, unique to their needs. And through the repetition of going through that 30-minute training plan, we literally are targeting specific areas of the brain for the repeated improvement, so to strengthen those areas of processing. The good news about the neurofeedback, unlike the gym, is that once the brain is trained and these neuronal pathways are strengthened and it's reinforced enough, it's going to hold, typically. So the nice thing is, and I've had clients call me 5 years later and say, I just want you to know my brain just keeps getting better and better.
Wow.
And it's like, oh, this is such great news. And then I thought about it for a while and I thought, well, yes, because anything that we use anywhere, it gets stronger. The more we do something, it's going to continue to strengthen. So once we get the brain kind of tuned up and wired or, you know, heading in the right direction across all of this, those become the new neuronal pathway. That becomes the new normal for that brain. And then we're going to continue to use that. The brain's going to use that as a strength instead of creating workarounds to get around these areas that aren't working very well. And so okay. In a nutshell, that's what we're doing.
Wow, it's amazing. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
If you're seeing a world of chaos, danger, and unpredictable social and political events, then we have a book for you. In fact, it's a book every person on the planet could benefit from. From Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, The New Earth opens up a world of predicted climate, political, social, and economic events, some of which have already come true. The New Earth is an updated large paperback with 100 additional pages of information taken from the Akashic readings from Dr. Douglas. What was life like in Atlantis? Did Atlanteans have technology more advanced than what we have today? When will permanent coastal flooding in Florida take place? You mentioned that Canada will be divided into three regions. Could you please clarify this? Could you provide details about Spain becoming a center for world trade? You've predicted that there will be a move toward a single religion. What will this religion look like? These and many, many questions are answered in The New Earth by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, available now at the Douglas James Cottrell website, www.douglasjamescottrell.com. Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up Podcast, exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to douglasjamescottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice. Welcome back to the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Tonight, interviewing Dr. Connie McReynolds, whose research in neurofeedback has helped thousands of children and adults so that they can deal effectively with ADHD even autism, and underlying brain problems. Her latest book is Solving the ADHD Riddle. And Dr. Cottrell gets incredible answers delving into the science behind developing brains. Dr. McReynolds has helped thousands of people with improved quality of life in ways never before thought possible. Later on tonight, we'll be taking your phone calls during our open mic hour. Now, once again, here's your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Well, Dr. Connie, just before the break, you were telling this is what you do, and I have this image in my mind about these little teeny shreds in their brain getting thicker and thicker, and then it's like a freeway going back and forth with his thoughts. So that was a marvelous explanation, and I guess the best thing is about when you train the brain, you don't have to keep going to the gym, so to speak, to keep the muscles going. It just keeps getting better, better, better. I love it. As people, when people come back, again, not to overdo it, but you change people's lives. I mean, you give them their life. I can't imagine what it would be like to go through a life where you can't think. You know, you have this congestion in your thinking. It must be frustrating. It must provoke people to be angry and bitter, maybe violent. Anyway, to get to the point that I just can't imagine what it would be like. I know back in the day, there wasn't much research in this area. Autistic children and other people with these problems. By the way, does this expand into autistic children or other things? I'll take that. Your smiling net is a yes. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yes. Yeah, so we have over the years worked with children who have been diagnosed autism, Asperger's, kind of the labels are changing periodically in there. Parents will call and say, okay, my child has this, what can you do? And I'll always say, well, let's do an intake, because I can't know until I meet the child either via Zoom or in person. And we put them at the computer and let's just see what the child's capable of doing. Because I've had some people in the severe range that they can't be at a computer. And so that's really one of the keys to this, is a child does need to be able to be at a computer, operate a mouse. You know, the parent can be there. We're with them. If it's Zoom, obviously in person, you know, we're with them. So they need to be able to have that level of ability. Now, we've had children learn how to use a mouse. I've had 93-year-old men learn how to use a mouse that we've worked with. So
wow.
Just to let you know, we can teach people how to use a mouse. And with, again, the assessment that we use, those labels, they just don't give us enough information. And with the assessment, I find that a lot of these children with autism, wherever they are on that spectrum, whatever I'm going to call it, if they have auditory and visual processing problems that are really underneath that diagnostic label, there's something we can do about that. Now, for children who have the brain that's diagnosed with autism, it is a longer process for some of these children. Some of the children in the moderate range don't really have verbal capability, but we're still able to work with them because they can use the mouse, they can sit at the computer, they can follow instructions. And not to wax too far into it, but I just had a parent with a child, I did a follow-up first round retake assessment with him yesterday, and he shared that his son's language has exploded, as what was reported by people who are working with his son. Now, he hasn't been able to get through the assessment yet, but we're using that as a tracking mechanism, but we're also listening for what's happening in the child's world. So in this particular case, they had moved to a different school district. He had been in the mild support group in the school system, and the new school has moved him into moderate severe. And I didn't feel like that was a good move, because there's a lot of behavioral challenges in those classrooms. I was
other students, right? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And so, in fact, the father is reporting, and I'll share, they've hired an attorney. Because they feel like the school district is not listening to them and not providing the proper support and educational opportunities for their son. And this is where schools get a little locked in. They get a little rigid in their approach sometimes. I know they're trying to do the right thing. They have a lot to manage, but it isn't always, you know, their decisions shouldn't be the last decision. So the parents should have influence in that as well. So we're going to continue with that, you know, with children with autism. Again, back to those auditory and visual processing problems. If they are there and we can help that, then that's going to overall help the child do better.
Well, again, you know, the idea of people have opinions, they're square-headed, and even when you present facts, they don't want to hear about it. I ran up again a lot of that, call it resistance. And to those parents, I'm sorry to hear that they're meeting such things. You would think educational places or everybody would be, as I was, I expected, hey, we've come up with this, you know, chiropractic solution for my daughter's neck, and everybody would jump on it. No. That was why I asked you before if you were criticized, because I was severely criticized for looking for alternatives. My daughter was medicated and was patient managed, if you will, in the institution, which meant she was on a living, I don't want to say hell, but she was in a very difficult, nightmarish existence. So varying degrees of breaking down barriers and prejudice, this is kind of my job. Working with different professionals and getting them to work through their minds just like you are. And I'm intrigued, really, listening very carefully to what you're saying, how you somehow were putting this together in your head as you were going through the research and developing stages and figuring out that, hey, there can be something done here. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. you had that revelation time. Can you remember the first time when you said, oh my God, I got it? Was there such a revelation point?
Well, it was astonishment, I will say. You know, it was, it just kept looking at it and looking at it and looking at it and thinking, is this really what we're dealing with? Because if it is, there's something we can do about this. And this can be a game changer. For people, it's a game changer for teachers, it's a game changer for parents and for the child. And suddenly we go from a child being labeled as misbehaving or willfully bad to parents in tears realizing they don't have a bad child. They have a child whose brain just can't take in information. And if you have auditory processing problems, it does not matter how many times you tell the child to go pick up their shoes and put them away. If that child can't remember what you're telling them to do, you can tell them 10 times or 100 times, and all that's going to happen is the same thing over and over. The child's going to forget what you told them.
Isn't that the definition of insanity?
It is, and I think we've been living in it for a very long time with these kids. And so my true mission is to get this out so that people know there is something different. We don't have to keep making those same mistakes with generation after generation of child that comes along. We have some solutions. It's a non-invasive process, which means there's nothing being done to the child's brain. The child is just learning how to empower his or her own brain through brain training exercises, and that builds self-confidence. It improves the self-image in the child. It gets rid of a lot of that negative self-talk that these children employ very, very early on. Because in the classroom, in elementary school, they're already judging themselves against their peers. And if they see their peers being able to follow something that someone's saying and they don't have any idea what's going on, they immediately go to the place where I must not be very smart. And they will use words such as, I must be stupid. They will use these words. The parents hear it and there's heartbreak, of course. But that's the only place people have gone in the past. So if I can't do this, I must not be very smart. This has nothing to do with intelligence. This has everything to do with processing, and processing we can work on and tackle. And then what happens is once these children's brains are working better, and guess what? They're scoring better on IQ tests, they're doing better on the state school exams, they're doing better in their classroom, because now they can understand what the instructions are, they can follow along, they can perhaps visually process things better. So we're changing up the whole process of this child's life in the academic world and at home.
You know, it occurs to me, it's common sense. Going back to the point of birth, the fetus develops to a point where it's now time for the birth to occur. The birth occurs and the body is still developing. And it takes a long time for that baby to develop skills in its brain and coordinating, you know, and getting the body's nervous system to function. And it occurs to me that maybe somewhere along the line, something just stopped the development of these pathways in the brain. And maybe a weak point, maybe there was some cold disease, whatever, but it arrested the growth in the brain. And what I'm hearing you say is that you can target this, and by whatever this manipulation, programming, patterning, if you will, repetitious movements, that the child strengthens those passageways. The brain is growing, I would say, and it continues wherever it was arrested before. It's now relieved, and it's strengthening, growing, and creating new pathways. Would that be sort of something that you would agree with?
Yes, absolutely. That's part of the neuroplasticity, and that's how the brain works, is that an old habit, if we want to change an old habit, we have to develop the new habit, or we have to strengthen the better habit. And so by strengthening the better habit, then actually what happens, and there are images of this, how scientists got these images, I don't know, but sometimes when I go out and do training, I'll take these images that show these neurons and synapses and these connections happening in the brain cells. And then it shows this thing called pruning, which means if we drop the bad habit long enough, that connection is going to go away.
Really?
And so we're actually able to see how this works in the brain. Again, how they got this, I have no idea. But it's fascinating for people to actually see these tendrils, kind of these axons and dendrites come together in these cells and make these connections, and then to see it prune away when it's going away. And so we just think of this as just enhancing, strengthening those neuronal pathways. So with the assessment, some children have those pathways there. They're just not strong enough. In other cases that I mentioned where maybe the visual is completely missing or the auditory is completely missing, we're going to be building those neuronal pathways, and we can do it. How long it takes is very unique to each person, but we've been able to accomplish that with anyone that we've worked with. It isn't a common occurrence, but when we do see it, we've had enough experience over 15 years that we know we can affect change. If the parents can hang in there and keep that child coming, and we can have consistency with that treatment plan, and we continue to build and build on that, then we can get that processing coming online.
Well, you are one of the foremost clinical researchers and experts in your field. And anybody who has any suspicion that their child has ADHD or any of the diagnoses that you've mentioned, I'm not going to repeat them, they should come and get your book to start with. Your book was... where can they get it, and what's your website again? Let's get everybody on the bandwagon here.
Okay. So the book, the title is Solving the ADHD Riddle. It's on Amazon. It's available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook. And I did the audiobook myself, so you get my voice. I wanted my voice in that so people could understand, you know, where I'm coming from with that. And the website is www.ConnieMcReynolds.com. Sorry for the long name, but it was my given, and that's what I have.
Can't forget it. It's my name at .com. You know. So listen, let's take a short break. We'll be right back, and I have another question to ask.
You're invited to embark on your own spiritual journey today by discovering the expansive works and services from Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Elevate your being physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Visit DouglasJamesCottrell.com. With over a dozen enlightening books and meditative audio downloads to help guide you through life's complexities. Delve deep into the mysteries of human consciousness, the future, and the spiritual realm. As the author of Secrets of Life, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Conversations with the Akashic Field, and more, Douglas opens the doors to realms most people only dream of visiting. The writings of Dr. Douglas James Cottrell are based on his unique ability to visit the Akashic Field, where all knowledge since the dawn of man is stored. You can read about the predictions, many of which have already come true, and planetary changes, health remedies, human growth, are all written. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and view the selections of books and MP3 audio available now. That's DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Welcome back to the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Tonight, interviewing Dr. Connie McReynolds, whose research in neurofeedback has helped thousands of children and adults so that they can deal effectively with ADHD, even autism, and underlying brain problems. Her latest book is Solving the ADHD Riddle. And Dr. Cottrell gets incredible answers delving into the science behind developing brains. Dr. McReynolds has helped thousands of people with improved quality of life in ways never before thought possible. Later on tonight, we'll be taking your phone calls during our open mic hour. Now, once again, here's your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
So Dr. Connie, I highly recommend your book. Just as a parent who's had such a child in my life, I was able to get someone to give me alternatives that allowed my child to come out of an institution. She was in there from 2.5 until 6.5. And I regret every day that day my wife and I took her to this place, but it was part of the karma, if you will. It's part of the spiritual path. But because of her life, I'm doing what I'm doing today and have done what I do for the last 50 years. So in a playful way, I wanted to ask you, if you could do this for people who have issues like children, what about people like me? Can you make me smarter if I was to go through the same program? You know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of holding my own, but, you know, if I wanted to be improved, is that possible? I'm just asking a playful sort of way. It just popped in my head. So if you don't mind me asking.
Yes, of course it's possible because our brain is changing. It's the neuroplasticity. So just so you know, I actually recently put a neurofeedback station clinic inside a retirement center here in Southern California.
Really?
Yes. So a couple of years ago, this is kind of one of those things that just happened. We didn't know it at the time, but I had a man call me. He said his 82-year-old mother was struggling with her memory. And did he think that I could help him? I had helped him with some pain management. Did he think I could help his mother? I said, well, let's get her in. Let's do some assessments. Let's kind of figure out what's going on. So we did that, and we had some shorter memory computer-based assessments that we ran, and yes, we found out that there was some room for improvement for her memory. There was some other things going on with auditory and visual. I was like, well, let's do this. So we did the 20 hours of training with her, and then one day she came back in just to kind of stop by and say hello, and she was smiling from ear to ear, and her son was looking a little coy as well, and I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here? So she started saying, well, she said, you know, I didn't know this, but before I came in to see you, I'd seen my doctor, and I just went back for my six-month checkup, and what he was assessing her for was dementia. She didn't know it.
Oh, my gosh.
And so she went back after 6 months, and she took the same test that she'd taken 6 months earlier, and he looked at her, and she's telling the story. She said, he looked at me and he goes, okay, what have you been doing? And she goes, what are you talking about? And I'll tell it first person. And she said, well, why? I've been doing this thing called neurofeedback. And he said, well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it because you've just reversed this. You've improved your cognitive score on this test several points. And I'm going to tell you now that when you were here 6 months ago, I had been preparing for the last 6 months to tell you that you were in dementia. You are not.
Wow.
Now, he didn't know she'd been coming for neurofeedback, and I didn't know that she was that close to being diagnosed with dementia. We had found memory problems, but I'm not a medical physician, and I wasn't assessing her for dementia. I was assessing her for, does she have some memory problems? And yes, indeed, she did. So I share that to let people know that there's always an opportunity. I have people in their 90s right now in this retirement center who we're working with. And, you know, it's not going to be maybe the 20 hours. It's probably going to be a longer process, but the brain can still learn. It can still be rewired. It can be strengthened. And that's what these senior citizens are looking for. They want to improve what they have. They want to hang on to what they already have. They don't want this trajectory of a different future for themselves. So anyone can benefit from this, I think. We actually train sports folks too to be on the other side of the equation. So we've worked with a major league ball player to hone his game a little bit. We've worked with a gymnast who wanted to improve her attention and concentration and focus. And when she came back from her competition, she was wearing 5 medals when she walked in the door. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, beaming. Her smile was bigger than the 5 medals. It was brighter. So, you know, there's just so much that can be done with the brain. And I think that's really the message here is we don't want to give up on this. We want to keep going and we want to strengthen. And so the intake is an hour and a half is all it takes of your time. And we do it via Zoom if you're not in Southern California. And we do the assessments the same as if you're sitting in my clinics. And I go over everything with you on Zoom and we email you the results at the end of the assessment. And then people can make their decisions what they want to do.
Well, I was asking that in a playful way. My interest is exploring the unlimited human consciousness. Mm-hmm. That's what my show is all about and what my interest has been, because I believe, from hard evidence, not just theory or belief in invisible things, but it was like this consciousness is enormous. And as I was just sort of asking about that, I don't have Alzheimer's, but I have some timers. Sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't. So I think I might buy your book.
Well, I just find it, you know, at the end of the day, when a parent has said these things to us and reported these effects, it's like it, you know, mitigates any other challenge that there may have been that came across in the day. Because at the end of the day, if we really helped give a parent or a child or a teacher or anyone some hope that there can be a different future for themselves, and that's what this is about. You know that there's a different future they can hold for themselves.
You give them back their life.
Mm-hmm. We have, and I, you know, not to be immodest about it, it's just the data, it's just the work, it's what's come through me. I didn't create the software, I didn't create the assessment, but I did figure out a little bit of a difference.
Well, you know, it's like a path through the forest, right? Oh, yeah, I just take the path, go through the forest. So, yeah, anybody can follow the path. But who was the first one that found the path through the forest or the confusion? And, you know, I admire people who are way showers, people who don't take no for an answer and are spurred by whatever spiritual, intellectual, intuitive, whatever pursuit they take to say something can be done about this. And then they have the tenacity to go ahead. And from what you've done, again, with being an explorer in this field, you know, you're not quite sure where to go. And the enormous amount of effort that you've done should be somewhat appreciated by your colleagues. So with that note, have you sent your book to other colleagues, other areas in the medical profession? I'd love to hear what they had to say, because I keep hitting them over the head by saying, there's more you can do. Don't just put the blinkers on and say, this is what I do. And this is what I do. I do surgery. I don't do anything else. You know, go away. No, there's got to be more that you can, as a group of healers, come to a consensus, if you will. I'm not talking about a committee kind of making a diagnosis, but I'm talking about the overlap. And as I was listening to you, the images were going through my mind. We don't know much about the brain. We don't know much about consciousness. We think we do. But here you are in your life at this point in time coming up with a brand new field of endeavor that can help babies, children who have, you know, low self-esteem, who think they're stupid, who think nobody cares about them. And more importantly, the parents who love their kids so much and they don't know what to do. they would give their lives to help their children. I'm sure I was willing, and you don't know what to do. And then like an angel, you show up and you say, oh, I could help. Come on down for an hour and a half and we'll see if we can show you a pathway. So have you reached out to other people? Are other people listening to you in your field of expertise? Are they wanting you, you know, do you do seminars? You do workshops? What do you do?
Well, that's the hope, that now that the book is out, that because you really have to kind of prove that you have something. And it took a little while for me to be able to write that book. And I wasn't going to write it until I had solved what I call the remote neurofeedback problem. Because I wasn't going to just put a book out and say, oh, I'm sorry if you don't live within 20 miles of my clinic in Southern California, I'm not going to be able to help you. I wasn't going to do that. Okay. And so once we solved that, the software developer, I actually called him. I've had a good long relationship with him, and it was in February, a couple of years ago, kind of still in the middle of the pandemic. And out here, we were hearing rumors of another shutdown, and I thought, we can't keep doing this. So we have to get help to people. And I called him. It was late. It was probably 10:30, 11 o'clock in his world that night, and he took my call. And I said, look, we've got to find a solution to this. I don't know what it's going to take, but I have to be able to get this out to people who are more than 20 or 30 minutes from my clinic. And he listened. And he called me a month later, and he said, I pulled off all the programmers off of everything else, and we've created this for you so that we can do this. And so I thought, well, we're going to have to try this and make sure it works. So 2 years later, we've been doing it, and we're helping people around the country. And I hope we can reach beyond where we are to bring this to some other folks. And just want to be clear, I don't diagnose. So if people are, you know, wanting to use insurance or something, I'm not going to be diagnosing. So they'll need to go through their own medical folks to do that, because we're focused on the auditory and the visual processing problems. And so if you want to find out if that's what's going on, I'm happy to work with you on that. But if it comes to diagnostic labels and insurance and things like that, then that's just, you've got to handle that more on your own end.
So people come, they get an assessment from yourself. You provide, again, summarizing, you provide something to them. They try it out. And they more than likely have positive results. Are some people fast and some people slow in this development? How does that work? You know, like, I mean, I'm sure there are people right now who just, they're on the computer going to buy your book. They want to call you. And other people are sitting there going, I don't know. You know, so.
Well, I think it covers the whole gamut. I mean, I've been down the whole gamut with it myself. So, you know, it's just from one end of it to the other and back and back and back about, you know, where are we with this? And so finally pulling together the book and really working through that process of getting it published. I really wanted people to know that there are other opportunities, alternatives, if you want to call them, or just options. And it just is possible to do things differently than what we've really kind of thought we've always had to do, kind of outside the box. And so I think it's an outside the box process here, and I feel like that's really where we're going in the world and with humanity. We can't stay in the same boxes that we've been in up to now and think we're going to have anything different in the future. We have to step outside those boxes. We have to be open-minded to what some of these new solutions and new ways of being can be for us as a human being on this planet as we connect with others. And I think this may be one of the many things that will be coming for humanity over the next decade or so that could really turn things around in a big way.
I listening to you, well said, very concise, and I believe that's a prophetic statement. Thinking outside the box is a good term. Looking for alternatives, because if there is something in the world that has happened, it exists, and then there has to be a remedy that also exists. It's just a matter of getting the two of those together. And I think that as my life was always looking for alternatives, took me in very unusual places, but it's been fascinating in discovering just who and what we are as people and all the different functions we have. So again, people can get a hold of you at ConnieReynolds.com. Look on Amazon. Go to your website and get a book. I wouldn't mind getting an autograph copy of your book, by the way.
Well, that could probably be arranged.
Well, it's been wonderful having you on here and finding all about the amazing, I'm going to call it miracle work you're doing to give somebody back their life, especially as a child who thinks they're stupid, they have no self-esteem, and that their life is, there's something wrong. They know it's wrong because they can feel it in their head, but they can't express themselves. And they can't remember all those things. I guess you could say it's like youthful Alzheimer's. You know, it's just like your brain doesn't work. You can feel it and you can know it. That's my sense that I'm picking up just now and how terrible it is. But by unlocking those pathways through those neurons and synapses and getting back to the muscle building in the brain, I just love it, that repetition builds strength. You know, you don't use it, you lose it in muscles, but in the brain, the more you do it, again, as a summary. The book is called Solving the ADHD Riddle. My guest has been Connie McReynolds, PhD. She is a foremost researcher in her field. I encourage everybody who's listening to this podcast to get in contact with this groundbreaking researcher if you suspect your child has some issues like this. If you know somebody who has a special child, send this program off to them so they might be able to find Dr. Connie and get a hold of them for some miracle help. It's been wonderful having you on the show. We'll have you on again in the future, I'm sure. I wish you very, very, very well. You're a marvelous person and a true healer.
We'll be back for the second half of our Global Village International show, taking your phone calls after this short break. For many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who, just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at The New Age Health Guide, on sale now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com.
We understand people may have strong opinions that are different than our own. So join us and call in with questions and comments as we attempt to explore the unlimited human consciousness.
Welcome back to the Global Village, the second half of our show, where we take your phone calls. Now, once again, here's our Global Village host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Well, thank you, Paul. It was a wonderful interview with Dr. Connie McReynolds. Again, I encourage everyone who has a special child, and if even suspect that there's perhaps a little slow learning, a little behavioral problem. Don't just jump to discipline and punishment right away. Pick up her book. It's the first step in maybe, possibly, finding a solution that will help your child. If it's just a little bit of a rough edge kind of thing, to smooth out the edges on how to get along with with classmates and people in general, or whether it goes right through the training of the brain, as you said, making the brain function more correctly. And she used the analogy of going to the gym. And the best thing about making this effort is that when your brain strengthens or improves, it doesn't seem to lose that. It continues. So I was, as you heard, Paul, maybe in the interview, I was playfully asking her if she could help an old guy like me. And sure enough, I was very much intrigued that she said she was going to retirement homes and places where people were on the verge of going into dementia. I thought that was pretty amazing. Yeah.
Douglas, we're going to ask you if you can call in with your cell phone. We're having a big distortion problem with your connection. So if you don't mind, we'll take another short break. And if you can call in on your phone, we can put you on the air through your phone.
Okay. I might just be having too many computers and cell phones nearby, but okay, I will do that. I'll call them on the cell phone.
Great. We'll talk to you in just a few. Here's a little book packed with over 350 simple inspirational messages that you can use on a daily basis. It's called Gems of Wisdom. If you follow these simple steps to reach the divine within, you'll change not only yourself, but the world. A must-read for the spiritual-minded person. Available now at douglasjamescottrell.com. Gems of Wisdom. One of the most poignant topics of discussion in today's world is the evidence of earthly changes and what began as what the media called global warming. Did you know our Global Village host wrote the most detailed predictive book about the future of our planet? The New Earth is a book that drills down to specific events, many of which have already come true, but much more than severe weather patterns, seismic eruptions. The New Earth tells us how to prepare and understand how societies and governments will be forced to accommodate these future events. Originally published as The New Renaissance, the updated manuscript is one of Dr. Douglas Cottrell's best-selling books. Pole Shift, Coastal and Inland Changes, Volcanoes and Earthquakes, Rising Temperatures, Specific Landmass Changes, Healing Our Emotional Health During These Changes, and so much more. Go.
Apparently, I'm all doubly goofed on that.
No. I was all garbled on that, on a show.
So I'm calling in the cell phone.
Hello, Paul. Can you hear me? I'm on my cell phone, Paul. Can you hear me now?
Paul, can you hear me? Well, I can hear something on now. How's that, Paul? Paul, can you hear me? Well, looks like the Munchkins, I'm not sure if you can hear me or not, Paul. Looks like the Munchkins are out here tonight. Paul, I'm back on my microphone if you can hear me. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Douglas. We are on the air, and you are back on the air, so you can now continue.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Hello.
Paul, I've got my microphone on. I got my cell phone on. Am I coming through?
It's all staticky.
I got lots of feedback here. There we go. I shut off my cell phone. Can you hear me okay now or is it still garbled?
Douglas, you're now on the air.
Hello, Paul.
Douglas, you're now on the air.
There he is.
Hi, who's calling?
Hello, Paul.
Yes, hello, who's calling?
This is Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
I have a question for Dr. McReynolds.
Yes, let me, we're having some severe difficulties.
I understand this. Sounds like you're in outer space.
We're having some
difficulties. I understand.
Unmuted. Ooh. Okay,
hi,
Douglas, we have Carrie on the line.
Can you hear me okay, Paul?
Yes.
Is Dr.
Okay.
McReynolds there?
No, that was a pre-recording interview of Dr. Reynolds. That was on our YouTube channel.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Yeah, you can hear the... Yeah, you can hear the whole interview. It's on Zoom, and you could see her, actually. Just go to YouTube, and you can see the whole interview. But now that we've got some sort of patchwork quilt going through here that I'm on the show, maybe I can help you with a question.
Well, I had a question for her if she has introduced this to the colleges of education. You know, people that you need to start with teacher education so that people going into the field of education know about this technology that she's developed.
Well, I did ask her a similar question about that, and she has or she does train other psychologists on her breakthrough brain trading technology. And so your question is if she's in, she's gone to UCLA or other places in California. I can't answer that question directly, but it would be a good question to pose to her. You go to her website, which is www in her whole name, and then perhaps ask that question. I believe she's on a roll and that people are who have interested in furthering their research and helping children, that this would be a perfect time for her to expand this. Again, from my own personal experience with my family, to have someone who has some authority and a ton of research as she has to get involved you know, with other people in other fields or related fields, this would be a perfect opportunity for them to do so. So I regret I can't say that she's gone to educational places, but she has gone to an awful lot of other psychologists and people who are similar in her in the area that she's interested in.
Yeah, this is cutting-edge technology that's far, far ahead of so many other individuals. And with her knowledge and expertise, teaching classroom teachers what to do, what to recognize, and how to utilize it with students is just unbelievable. I mean, because there are classes at, in colleges for autism and ADHD and the whole gamut of those types of things going on, and they're teaching the same old-fashioned techniques. So hers is cutting edge, and she can make a real, real jump there to help people. I know she trains the psychologists, but you need to get down to the level of actually working with the classroom teachers where the kids are coming in. And those are the people that see what's actually going on and can perhaps do some things to help those kiddos get the treatments they need.
Well, that's very well said. It's an excellent observation. I'm not sure if I went down that road in the interview with her. Again, you could hear more of it on the YouTube channel under my name, Douglas James Cottrell. But you're right on the money for that. The children who are in the schools, as you you may have, if you heard the interview, there was one part there that she was talking about classroom activity where parents had a child who was doing well. I think they moved into a new district and they went to a different school, which put their child into a hardship of another level that was more with children that were violent and having great difficulties in the classroom. And apparently she alluded to the fact that the parents have spoken to a lawyer and there might be some litigation involved. As I said in the interview, I just can't believe that there would be such obtuse, and I think I used the term square-headed thinking, that these people would not say to the parents, well, what do you want us to do? How can we accommodate you? Instead of being resisting to the point that you have to hire an attorney to get your child, your special child, additional treatment that's working. So your point is very well said. And the next time I speak with the good doctor or we communicate, she will be back on the show in the future. I'll mention the point and I'll ask her that in specifically if she's reaching out to educational centers. Of course, that would be a rather mammoth undertaking, you know, but God always starts with a seed anyway, and if she can make some inroads to where she is. I'm sure your point is very well taken.
Yeah.
It would be something that would be automatically accepted, I would think. But again, people being people, you know, professional, you know, jealousies and things like that aside, I just say that. I'm not trying to imply it. But it happened to me in my life, and there was great resistance. And then after time goes by, it gets accepted, and then all of a sudden everybody is on board, and they're saying, well, of course, that's how it should be. But back at the time, it was an uphill battle. I did ask her if she was receiving much resistance in her endeavors with colleagues and other people, and she said no, it was being readily accepted. And I was very pleased to hear that.
Well, I think that's probably because she has her own clinic and does her own work. She's not out there in the general public, you know, out in the schools or in colleges, whatever, where it's going to start causing people to go, oh, this stuff? Oh, I didn't know that. Or, oh, you mean we have to change now?
Yeah, it's well pointed. That's well said. As she said, she has two clinics. She's reaching out on the internet. I guess they do Zoom classes. I'm not sure, but it's a very good point. You're obviously right on the money on this. She has that clinic, and the lady is so professional that in the interview she told me that she wanted to make sure that she wasn't stepping. These are my words now, stepping on anybody's toes. Mm-hmm. That maybe there was research out there, and she didn't want to be putting forth somebody else's work. And as I remarked to her in a sort of an excited way, I said, "No, you're the pathfinder here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody else is doing this." So I was very pleased to hear that she's not meeting what I gather was very no resistance whatsoever. So there is hope. I think it would be something that could be. I don't know how you would do it, but there's got to be a way to get the teachers, you know, the frontline people, so to speak,
right,
with all the other situations that are going on in the schools these days, to get them to say, okay, in these special needs classes, that maybe there could be a summer course where the teachers could be introduced to this new, let's say, methodology of helping children. I mean, I hate to say it, but you know, when there's a kid who's biting in classes and scratching or stealing things or looking out the window, you know, and doing all kinds of misbehaving things, that
the medicine comes down the road.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
They medicate.
Did she give
Do you have a special? Do you have a special child in your life or something?
No.
A very good question.
No. I've worked in the field of education, so I'm familiar with that. But did she give any examples of what types of things she does with these adults, children's, whatever?
Well, they go through a training
right.
process, as I understand it, and it's using a computer, and they have to be able to operate a mouse. That was the two conditions. And then whatever their work is on this program, as she said, she had a programmer put all put all his programmers on this system. So I'm assuming it's something that was out there. It's been, if not invented, it's been modified specifically so that the area that would best be suited would be children and adults. And I was jokingly asking her about older people, myself, you know, how to improve my sometimers to have better memory. And apparently people of all ages, as long as they could have those two, let's say, conditions of being on a computer and using a mouse, whatever's going on in the programming, and I have no idea because I've not observed it, that would be the way. I think she said 20 minutes sessions, and I'm not sure if it was daily or weekly, but that would train the brain. Mm-hmm. And that was she used the term as if you were going to a fitness club, to the gym, and you would strengthen the brain as you would strengthen your muscles. So there you go. I think that, you know, that programming, whatever it is, and again, just because I haven't seen it myself, I can't describe it more accurately than that.
Just think if she took that program and worked with like preschool, kindergarten age children and worked with them on that type of program she has with, quote, normal kids, if there is such a term. And it would be interesting to see what the outcome would be of those students.
I'm sure they would be like a head start, kick-started,
right.
You know, like they would be advanced very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I had a special interest in children who have dyslexia,
mm-hmm.
and she mentioned that those people, children, were aided and
mm-hmm.
Asperger's and other
mm-hmm.
other so-called labels.
Right.
So I think that she's probably on the mark and maybe already has made inroads into that. That's a good question, though.
Yeah. So what's on the agenda for tonight, since this is a recorded program?
Well, this is open mic. People can ask questions on anything they like. And we are having, yet again, we've been working through our system here, our platform. And we seem to have some things worked out, but tonight I'm getting a lot of feedback. So I guess Paul's the producer here. He's working his magic, and we have a lot of people in the queue here. And so people can ask me about Dr. Connie McReynolds' interview or their situations or just a basically open night. I'm sure a lot of people are wondering what's going on in the Middle East and where certain things in the world are headed. And so we have a little bit of time left. We have quite a few people waiting in the queue. And hopefully the magic of Paul's superior control over our studio will be able to take a few more calls. But,
Ready, I'll let you go.
Working out very well.
I'll
okay.
let you go.
Well,
so
you
have
some very good questions.
So we'll
okay.
talk to you again. Already.
Where are
good
you
night.
Calling from?
In Pennsylvania.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Oh, okay. Thank you. We like to keep track of people across the country. Thank you.
Bye now.
Okay. Take care. Okay, Paul, we're going to try to take another caller here. Make
yes.
the attempt, I should say.
Yes, Douglas, we're going to Carol in Chicago. Carol, hello. You're on the air.
Hello, Carol. Oh, looks like Carol. Did Carol get dropped? I think so.
Looks like it. Looks like her
yeah.
call was dropped. Okay, we'll go to the 312 area code with the 320 exchange. The 312 area code. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, what happened is I had on both phones. I didn't know it. I had on both phones.
You're calling with two phones, Carol, one in each ear.
I forgot. I called on one and forgot to press one. So anyway, what I was going to ask her was, how is it that the Disney movies help autism kids speak? When these kids look at the Disney movies, you know, I guess because it gives them, it addresses, I guess it helps them face, you know, some fears that they got, like scary, good or bad feelings, embrace yourself. When others don't, I don't know how it does it, but it does it. When autism kids look at the Disney movies, they begin to speak.
Well, I can't really say much about that, Carol. I mean, autism and
ADHD.
Asperger's and some of the other labels that children are labeled with. Dr. Connie has, through her system and her programming, applied a therapy that has worked, as far as I understand it now, that has worked extensively with great success through a whole range of ages and different functions or, if I say, difficult challenges that the children have had. And the last part there, I asked her in a humorous way about older folks, and sure enough, people in senior citizens' homes, who one lady she quotes had mentioned was on the verge of dementia, and after treatments was sort of rescued from that deep dark pit. So I think maybe your statement about Disney movies helping children, that could be could be something that is factual. But with Dr. Connie, it's more of her programming, which she has spent considerable money and time in developing, along with some professional developers, and again through the computer program, with the only two conditions that a subject needs to be able to operate a mouse and look at a computer screen. That was the only criteria, and then it was open for everybody else. The programming and what goes on in the programming, and making—I'm not sure what it is—but making that brain, the brain work or do a workout, seems to be the key to her therapy. And again, maybe there are movies that, like you're saying, that have gripped the imagination and the attention of special needs children that have worked, but I don't think that's where she was headed with her research and what she was mentioning on the show.
Because I would have liked to ask her in her treatment, did she involve meditation? And meditation, because see, what happens is the ADHD, you got behavior disorders, like they can't focus, they have trouble focusing.
Mm-hmm.
They have disabilities, anger. And I was wondering if the people who were treating multiple disorders instead of focusing on one to rewire the brain. Anyway, next time she's on the show, I'm going to ask her these questions.
Well, this is fine. This was a pre-recording of the YouTube channel. For anybody listening out there, you can go to my website and you can see we have a YouTube channel. We have a Wake Up podcast. We have the radio show here, and we have several other outlets for these interviews. And that Dr. Connie will be, live here on the Global Village International Radio Show at some mutually convenient time in the future. But for now, you can go to her website, which again is www.ConnieMcReynolds .com. And I'm sure this is not just for your own interest, Carol, but other people listening to the show, they could find answers to those questions, especially that lady that was asking as an education. That there would be more explained as to what exactly Dr. Connie's technique is. But it's training the brain. It's getting the brain to, as I understand, affecting the synapse and the parts of the brain, strengthening the brain passageways, as she said, sort of like a workout. So I'm not sure how it's done because I haven't seen it yet, but I understand the concept that the children are looking, or people are looking at a screen, and there's something going on in that programming that's making their brain settle down to be able to function. Because one of the things that I learned from that interview was that children with the ADHD, they can't remember and they can't learn. And so it's like showing them how to tie up their shoes, and then the next day, they don't know how to tie them up. Or as she used, something in the classroom, when you tell a child where to put their shoes, and the next moment they can't remember. So it's a learning disability or something that's really complicated, and her programming seems to get around that. So those questions you're asking are very interesting. The subject tonight's a very interesting one, and the full interview with Dr. Connie is on the YouTube channel, my YouTube channel, and she's quite an interesting lady. You could hear from the reflection in her voice. She's very well spoken. She's humorous. She's smart, and she's a pathfinder. And people who I complimented her a few times about her tenacity and ability to be a pathfinder, when they're onto something, they are enthusiastic about it, and they go to the ends of the earth to make their project or their method, or in this case, her therapy work. So I was quite happy. And some of the questions you're asking, again, maybe there is meditation involved. Maybe there is contemplation involved. But I don't know what the whole program is, and I don't know how long it takes. I think she alluded to the fact that some people learn faster, and some people take a little more time.
And I got one question to ask you before you throw me off. Am I going to hear from anybody in terms of like an anti-drug program for fourth and fifth graders or forming coalitions?
I can see you. I've seen it before where you have a coalition, a circle of friends, and with all the diversity and the, the different agendas, it seems to be what I can look at is a group of people in my mind's eye coming together. And this is a pretty powerful time right now. Speaking of influences at this point in the world, for instance, in November, we'll see five lunar planetary conjunctions with four planets. The moon will meet Saturn twice and also pass near Jupiter, Mars, and Venus. And right now, tonight, Jupiter is between the Earth and the Sun. And that is a very powerful influence. And again, this is not astrology. This is just observation of the planetary arrangements. But now is the time. Beginning in November, there's going to be all kinds of emotions and activities, and we're going to see great thrusts and movements forward. So getting back to your hometown, I think it's time for you to reach out now. With a little bit, I can see you stamping your feet a little, putting your foot down, actually, that this group of people are finally going to come together. You know, are you planning any kind of a group meeting or a conference at all?
Well, yeah, we have some on a co-op, but it needs to be like an anti-drug program for fourth and fifth graders. I've written some of everybody I can think of. Now, the last one I've written was Valerie Jarrett of the Obama Foundation. And before that, I wrote the mayor, maybe about 2 days, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago. So somebody got to come up with a
fourth. Well, you're in there. Okay. Well, you're in, as far as my intuition is, you're in harmony. Now's the time. And, I would encourage you to be polite but forceful. You know, now's the time to get things done.
Okay.
Be very clear in what you want. You know, not 10 things, but one thing. Something that everybody can agree on and focus on. That's the encouragement, is to be laser focused, and everybody can come to agree on one thing, and then they'll think of a second thing and a third thing. You know, but you're a motivating force, Carol, and you have a heart of gold. You're always trying to help people, and this probably is the time. You know, people are reaching out now. For whatever reason, there's a lot of things that are going on in the world that I've predicted in my book, The New Earth, some time ago, and including the Middle East situations and the situations in Turkey and Russia and other places and across the U.S. of A. So now is the time. I don't think it's Armageddon, but I do think it's a time of great change that's coming into the world that can either propel us into some unification in the world, or we can go the other way. I hope we can come together. So I encourage you to get your coalition going and have a singleness of purpose. And now's the time for you.
When you said it was an apocalypse, a friend of mine named Mary, she always says it's a she always says it's apocalypse right now.
Yeah. Well, I look more in the future, sometimes months and years in advance, rather than looking in the future for next week or next month. So these times at the tinderbox in the U.S., in the Middle East has been predicted and spoken about. Great woes are coming. This is true. But, we all pray for peace. And on our Sunday service, as you know, we have a Zoom church service every Sunday. We have our community, the Many Mansions community, that we're attempting to put hope or bring hope or talk about hope in the world. As we do believe this is a transitional time, a renovation time. But the possibility of great difficulty is there. But with enough people coming together now, we can turn that corner. We hope and we pray. So with God's will and God's grace and with many, many spiritual-minded people looking towards improving the world, we can get by this time. This is the pale horse. This is the first horseman being released. The Euphrates River has dried up. There are other signs in the Middle East that this is the time that the tabernacle might be shaken. But the four horsemen is what's right out now. So the first horseman is a conditional one, that if we come together, then the other three horses, or the symbolism of the three horse of the four horsemen, will be negated. So I'm optimistic about that. But anyway, Carol, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. We got a little bit time to go on the show here, another 15 minutes. But thank you very much for calling in again. Appreciate your calls. You've been calling in for, what, 5 years now or longer?
Well.
Carol?
Yeah, not fine, but close.
Close to it. I was just thinking about that the other day, so there you go. Okay, thank you, Carol. God bless you.
Oh, Dr.
See you next week.
I want you to think about Patrick O'Brien. I know they're supposed to call you, but when people are just like you, they have a tendency to, you know. But think about Patrick O'Brien, getting him on the show. I'm going to write you again.
Say that again. Just because we got a little static here, people like me, and then what did you say?
He is what they call an energy psychic. You know, he can call names. He is in Chicago. And I guess I can get him to write you. I don't know. But I just think he would be interesting to come on your show. His name is Patrick O'Brien.
Okay. Well, send an email or tell him to send an email. And we'll be more than pleased to see what he's all about. And you can send that to info@douglasjamescottrell.com. That's the business. Or that's the intake, info@douglasjamescottrell.com. Okay. Or you can go to my store, which is, douglasjamescottrell.com. For anybody listening, that I mentioned the book, that's where you can pick up the book, The New Earth. There's other books available. And in particular, there is links to the podcast Wake Up and also to the YouTube channel under my name, Douglas James Cottrell. There's other social media outlet that's there as well, and they're all available. So feel free to tell them to email me, Carol, and we'll see if we can arrange to have him on the show or if he has something to say or whatever. But anyway, thank you very much for recommending my show to him, and we'll look forward to talking to you next time.
Okay. Good night.
Good night, Carol. God bless. And if I don't talk to you before Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. I'm sure I will, but I'll just say happy Thanksgiving. For everyone out there, I know Thanksgiving is coming. This is a very important month. November has all these celestial signs going on that are unusual. There's a meteor shower that's coming. We're going to see tens of shooting stars coming up a little bit later in the month. So there's a lot of astronomical influences out there, Paul. And I don't know, time to get the binoculars out and the digital camera and take some wonderful pictures.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Even some moon shots. But, you know, astrological photography, Douglas, has become very popular just in the last year, and there's new gear that is available to both novices and professionals to be able to calculate how long it will take you to expose the sky to get a great Milky Way shot or universal shot. There's a lot of opportunities coming up, as well as new technology to help people take those pictures.
Well, I know you're a professional photographer and you have a lot of interest in that. And I suspect you're going to be out, you know, now, do you get the best shots just before the sun comes up, or do you get the best shots just before the sun goes down?
Well, there are three times of day that are the best times for taking pictures. It's right as the sun is coming up, and for about a half an hour to 40 minutes after the sun comes up. Then the same thing at night in reverse. About an hour before the sun completely sets is called the golden hour. So you've got sunrise and the golden hour, and then you've got the blue hour, which is relatively new in nomenclature, but the blue hour is right after sunset, and it gives you a bluish cast for just 15 or 20 minutes. Even though they call it the blue hour, it does not last an hour. So those are the best times to take pictures from the standpoint that people like the look of the gold color, whether it be on a building or whether it's on landscape. Those are the three times of day for the best pictures typically that people react to because of the golden color or the blue color. And the blue color also many times comes with kind of a pink sky cast. So you've got an interesting mix of colors that take place both around sunrise and sunset.
So there you go, everyone. There are a lot of amazing, I was going to say pictures in the sky, but amazing events taking place. And I'm sure it's going to continue as we get to the end of the year. But there we go. I take my cell phone out. I take some pictures. I always get the full moon there if I try. And I get a big, a sort of an X star across, you know, exaggerated light. But I would gather I would need some a little better equipment. Is it true you can see the face of the moon on a clear night with a telescope or something, or a camera like
well,
that?
Well, sometimes you can go into Photoshop and paint a face on the moon, but yes, some people do say that they see the face of the moon. In early movies before, when we had silent movies, there were some interesting early tricks being done with film where they would have a nose and eyes pop out on a picture of the moon. And they were always roughly done, but they were clever for that technology back then. But cell phones are getting so good, Douglas, that there are people now doing cell phone weddings, photographing weddings with cell phones. And I guess the brides are okay with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Well, that's generation, you know. Everybody's got their cell phone, and my granddaughter and my grandson, you know, and my children as well, they're in their 50s, are quite able to, you know, pull out the cell phone and take pictures and pass things around. That's the whole thing. You don't have to wait for the photographer to develop the pictures and bring them back. They can just airdrop them or move them on.
Yep.
So that's the advantage. Oh, my God. But anyway, it's been a wonderful show tonight. Dr. Connie McReynolds is a very talented researcher. She has a very successful practice in helping children of all ages. And now, as she said in the interview, even older people in homes with ADHD, but also other malfunctions of the brain, if I can call it that, where the brain needs to be trained, strengthened. I don't like the word trained. I would think, as I said to her, I kind of thought that it was when after a child was born that maybe as the body continues to develop normally, that maybe there have been something to arrest the development of the brain. So I'm going to just say that this process of can be related to how frustrating it must be that you can't remember things, you can't learn so well. Certainly, if you have dyslexia, you think there's something wrong with you because you can't spell, and everybody makes fun of you. And so it's a devastating situation to be in for any kind of capacity as a child, but in particular where something like this, where the brain can be, instructed or go through this brain-building, strength-building process. And as that caller said, what if they were to go to children and the younger kindergarten or so and apply this? How much faster takes to the next step and putting this out? Children, before they go to school and when they're in school, they constantly have some sort of electronic device around them, cell phone, iPad, you name it, computer. And I'm wondering if that's having a positive influence on children on how to learn, because there's a lot of stuff on the computer and what they're learning, well, the future will tell the tale, but let's hope it's speeding up their cognizant and logic and all those things about brain functions and not making or turning them into zombies kind of thing, you know? Yeah. So somebody said to me the other day, you know, like the parents, it's okay to let your children watch the computer, but you got to have some go outside time. Yeah. Go play outside time. I think, yep, when I was younger, it was, you know, come inside and do your homework, you know, do your study time. Now it's the other way around. But anyway.
That's right.
So anyway, I think if we have another caller or two, or we've got everybody on the list, it looks like.
Yep.
I can't see the studio too clearly.
Okay. No, I think we've got several people that are listening, and we've taken all the calls that we got to go on the air. So freedom is at hand.
Okay. Well, we're just about. Yeah, we're at showtime here anyway, at the end of the show, so. With that, I want to wish everybody, stay calm. What's going on in the Middle East is, it's not Armageddon, but we're getting close. We can't avoid this time of confrontation and uncertainty. Don't take sides in faraway places. You know, at universities and different places, the further you were away from this, the tinderbox in the Middle East, be calm. Don't take sides. Pray that for the best to happen to everybody. And remember, there are huge military assets poised to settle this conflict in the way that military assets settle things, and that is the extermination or the loss of great life. So we don't want that to happen, but we also don't want the great Satan to continue the atrocities that have been committed on October the 7th and are now, I guess, still continuing in this area, the Middle East, the tinderbox, and also in other parts of the world. You know, Ukraine and Russia are still squaring off. There are different conflicts all around the world. And so in faraway places, you know, pray for peace. Don't take sides. Don't go back looking at what happened previously and generations ago or decades ago. The focus is now, today, one day at a time. We do have the opportunity coming together as people of the world to pray, think, hope, and do everything we possibly can to help anybody and everybody. the people who are in charge of the conflict or the various military groups, that's their business. They're going to do what they're going to do. And we have no control over these powerful influences, but we do have the power of love and the power of thought and the power of prayer. That's what we have in faraway places. Be grateful for wherever you are. Be grateful for your life. And remember, there is a God and there is a divine influence that we have to ask. We have to ask, and that's called prayer. We have to ask for intervention. Everybody has free will and free choice. That was our gift from God Almighty in the beginning. Every soul has free will and free choice. So my words tonight are geared to those people who I've spoken to today and the last few days and the uncertainty that's out there. And it's simply, you have power. Your soul has power. We have the ability to ask for divine intervention and do so. Be grateful for your life. Be grateful for all that you have. And realize this is not the absence of God. This is the influence of Satan or the darkness or what would be the intention to understand that evil is the absence of love. Evil is the absence of love. So if we apply love, then we can chase evil away from a distance. I pray for those who are there and are going through this hell on earth, and that their suffering will be reduced, that they'll be saved and rescued, and ask for divine intervention to do so. And then just maybe we'll influence those people who are inflicting pain to stop and not to do so, to let the people go, not to hurt them or harm them. That's my message tonight, my friends, as we go through this rather amazing month of November. It is a time of earth-changing events, and there will be more. But we do have power. We do have the ability to pray, not to take sides, not to affix blame, and to stay out of the way of those people who are there making the decisions they're making. It's not for us to tell them what's right or wrong, but it is for us to say, love always finds a way. And with that, my friends, I want to thank you, Paul, for doing a wonderful job on the studio tonight. I think we're getting closer to having the glitches worked out here, and I just have a lot of energy going on around my office here tonight. We'll try to tone that down a bit, and we'll say goodnight to everyone who's listening. Doug Bentley is off for the evening. He'll be back next week and with more on fascinating interviews with talented people like Dr. Connie McReynolds. Stay tuned to the Global Village International Radio Show, or go to my website and check on the links to go to the YouTube channel and to the podcast and to other social media that we are bringing you wonderful and amazing people who are making contributions to the world as we speak. Good night, Paul. Take care, and thank you so very much for producing the show tonight.
Thank you, Douglas.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindProbe Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.